teens, young people. All right. What has God got to say to us today? Today we're going to be looking at the 14th chapter of John. The scripture is on the bulletin back cover. It's also before you on the screen as we be with Jesus and the disciples on the night before his crucifixion. He spends a very special night with them before he is led away, before he's betrayed, and he has some very comforting words to these disciples. They're troubled in heart, they are nervous, they're upset, they're confused, and Jesus senses this and has these words for them and for us today. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I've been with you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing the work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe in the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I'm going to be with the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I..." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Question this morning. How many of you had breakfast this morning? Uh-oh. Ah, some breakfast skippers, huh? Okay. You know what your mother told you, didn't you? That breakfast is the most important meal of the day. Well, now mom has some scientific proof to back her up. Doctors from the Mayo Clinic did a study recently, and they found that people who grew up in homes where breakfast was skipped had significantly greater health problems. They had higher levels of cholesterol, larger waistlines, insulin levels that were out of whack. And people who skip breakfast are at greater risk for heart disease, heart trouble. You see, it's important for us to have a nutritious breakfast to avoid heart trouble and other problems down the road. I guess mom was right again. Today we're going to take a look at what another doctor, I like to call him Dr. Jesus, the great physician, has to say about another kind of heart trouble. In today's reading from John 14, Jesus gives us one of the clearest, concise commands in all of Scripture. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Is that clear enough? I'm not sure how much clearer he could have made it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Let not your hearts be troubled. Now, I'm pretty sure that Jesus wasn't talking about triglycerides and HDLs and LDLs and clogged coronary arteries or bypass surgery or any of those kinds of things. He's talking about a different kind of heart trouble. Troubled hearts troubled by things like worry and stress and anxiety, feelings of hopelessness, lack of faith, panic attacks, or uncertainty. The kind of trouble, that heart trouble that Jesus is talking about, is the kind of stuff that keeps us up at night, tossing and turning, counting the ceiling tiles, worried about finances, worried about our kids, worried about our work, our job, or a troubled marriage. It's a kind of heart dis-ease, not disease, but dis-ease, put a hyphen there, dis-ease, we've all experienced at one time or another, haven't we? The kind that tends to run rampant if we don't know where to turn for help, to Dr. Jesus, the great physician. No doubt in my mind that this kind of heart trouble is a serious threat to the spiritual health of many Christians. Now, we know that a bowl of Cheerios is for your heart, don't we? But what about our faith heart? What about our faith? What's the prescription for things like worry and anxiety and stress and that gut-wrenching fear that makes us gnaw at our fingernails? Is it even possible, humanly possible, to obey Jesus' command, do not let your hearts be troubled, and to have an untroubled heart? I've got good news today. Yes, it is possible. It is possible. We're going to find out in just a minute. Just as a bowl of whole grain cereal or a whole wheat surf bagel with fruit is good for your heart, good for your physical heart, what we feed our souls or deprive it of really makes a difference to our spiritual health. We've all heard our doctors say to good health is what? A good diet, a balanced diet, and physical exercise. Don't do one or both of these and you're going to be headed for trouble eventually. The same is also true for our spiritual health. Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me." He's telling us here, folks, that the cure for our heart dis-ease is Himself. Now, I took the time yesterday and I counted the times in just 14 verses that Jesus said, "I," or "me," or "the Father," or "him," and he said 48 times in 14 verses referring to him or God. After all, Jesus said elsewhere in the gospel, "I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the living water." You see, Jesus is the only spiritual nourishment we need to have active, healthy, fruitful, and abundant lives. It's in Jesus Himself. Now, sadly, too many in our churches, perhaps many in our own congregation here at Bethel, are spiritually malnourished and suffering from some heart form of heart dis-ease. Why? Unfortunately, they're not feeding their souls on the Word of God, the bread. Nor are they exercising their faith. And what's the result? Well, they find that when trouble comes, when difficulties happen, when circumstances go totally berserk, they don't have what it takes to prevail. When the storms of life come, death, financial difficulties, broken relationships, etc., etc., they tend to fall apart with anxiety, stress, lack of direction when they take hold of them. Instead of standing on the promises, which we sang a few minutes ago, they sit on the premises and look for nourishment in all the wrong places. They skip good spiritual meals like devotional time, time alone with God in prayer, studying the Bible, and just feeding instead on the junk food of earthly, worldly solutions. Perhaps a self-help book. I went to a seminar Friday on conflict resolution, and everything, of course, it was put on by, you know, these Fred Pyre rear track things, and it's very, very generic, and certainly never refers to the spirit. Sitting there as a pastor thinking, okay, Jesus, yep, yeah, I hear you. But, you know, everything was based on the self, the human side of finding our way through that stuff. People binge on worldly things rather than believing that God is the source of strength. For example, they will be tempted to fill their minds with nonstop cable news coverage, thinking that the talking heads that we see seemingly 24 hours a day on TV will give them the insight and the wisdom they need. Or it might mean joining a gym or health club. For some people, obsess over their physical appearance, and they try getting control of their bodies in hopes that they might gain control over their souls.